Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. We'll go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray you'd help us to be people that understand some things that you give us understanding for, and then help us to also know how to preserve that understanding and remain faithful to you until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs 2. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I do mention it quite often, that I believe the greatest prayer that you can pray for yourself while here on earth is that God would open your eyes of understanding. Okay, and so when God does is he looks in the heart, and if the heart is sincere, meets qualifications, then he'll open your eyes and you start to see some things. Okay, so see some things in the Bible. Now, many have received this understanding in many areas of life, certain areas of life. Many have received this understanding, but have not seemed to be able to maintain it. Maintain this understanding for a long term and have become deceived in certain areas of life. Why does that happen? There are multitudes of believers throughout this country that if at this moment they all started to do what they already know or have known about Christ and the Christian life, it would be a miraculous change. Why is it that so many believers are deceived or hoodwinked? Okay, if this church or any Bible-believing church, from the moment it was conceived as a church, whatever, that if we kept 1%, just 1% of the people that walk through these doors, man, we'd be busted out the seams. Where are they at? And I'm not using the cop-out where a lot of people will cop out, oh, they're just not saved. A lot of saved people who are deceived. Okay, what happens? Okay, how did they get this understanding and then all of a sudden walk away from it? What happened? Something happened. Okay, and I think there's a follow-up. I believe there's a follow-up prayer to not only pray that God opened your eyes to the truth, and there's a follow-up that will maintain this opening of our eyes and continue this opening of our eyes so we might further grow in grace. The idea goes like this. Okay, it takes work to get wealth. Okay? If a person says, well, I want to have some money, well, you got to work. You know? Now, the problem is a lot of people will get wealth, but they don't maintain it. What happened in there? A lot of these how can a professional athlete who gets paid millions of dollars, and he strikes out, you know, a third of the time, but he gets paid millions of dollars, and at the end of their career, file bankruptcy. What happened? Where it takes work to get wealth, it takes wisdom to keep it. There's a difference in those things. Okay, and so just as it takes work to create wealth and wisdom to preserve it, so knowledge of the word must be preserved by something. What is it that something that will help preserve this knowledge long term? Proverbs chapter 2. Right off the bat, he gives basically a pretty quick, simple three-step outline or process to understand something. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. There's the prayer. Another version of that prayer. God, give me opened eyes. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's the motivation. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, so good. There's a good starter. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The source is the Lord. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good work. So there's a step up there. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. There's that next word, discretion. How is it that it's so rare in this day in professional sports you see repeat champions? Back in the 60s where Americans had more character, more backbone, more consistency, you would see somebody, a team like the Boston Celtics, who would get repeat championships year after year after year because those guys knew what it take to get there. But today, you don't see that. They're fly-by-nights. They're one-time, one-and-doners. They'll get a championship this year and then either get sidetracked, lose the desire. The problem is discretion. The discretion is what's going to preserve it. Discretion is what's long-term. Okay? Discretion is running a marathon, knowing you're not going to sprint the first 100 yards. Discretion is what's going to preserve thee. Now, the Bible prophesies of apostasy in the final days. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, in the latter times many shall depart from the faith. Now, they're not lost. These people are not lost. They've departed from the faith. Where'd they go? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then the next verse says, there'll come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's they? It's not the world. It's not the world. It's Christians. Don't want to hear it. What happened to them? It's a lack of discretion. The school that Brent has attended this past year, they, out of obligation, felt like, well, you're leaving. We'll ask you to preach for us. But, and they kind of boxed them in this little thing. Don't say this, don't say this, don't say this. Because they just are afraid what he's going to say. And so he gets up and he says, I just want you folks to try to understand. And he wasn't going to go in and blazing guns, just blaze them all out. You know, he was going to try to give them a truth to think about it. Which, praise the Lord, that shows me some maturity there. It would be entertaining to go in there and blaze them, you know, but your goal is to win somebody over, not to, you know, just get a notch on your gun. And he starts off, he says, I'd like to, you folks to understand, you know, a little bit about me is I was raised from a farmer's kid. Now, farmers are very blunt. They don't beat around the bush. They're very plain what they want to say. And not only that, my dad was a King James Bible believer. Now, I'm sure when he said King James, they go, and my dad's a King James Bible believer, which would make him a little more blunt, a little more plain. So hopefully you kind of understand me in this past year. And he said he did get a couple folks that received it well, said he got a blessing. He said several of them, they were giving me the dagger. And there's just some folks you're not going to convince. Okay? And so the idea is this age of apostasy that we're in, this age of apostasy, what's happening? Okay? How do we preserve these things? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt preserve thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself and them that hear thee. Save ourselves from what? Deception. Deception. See, this Bible prophesies of these things. You see, fruit and vegetables, if not preserved properly, decrease in value. What good is a fresh apple that has not been preserved properly and has looked bad? Okay, now the thing about discretion is that you tend to say, well, I can tell the difference between good and bad. Yeah, but what if the good looks, what if the bad looks good? You go to the store and you go to the bananas and say, oh, they're all good bananas. Oh, they're healthy. Yeah, but do you know what they've done with them? Run them through, some laser gassed them. Jan's sister is a missionary in Panama, Costa Rica, and she said, if you're going to buy bananas, make sure they're from Costa Rica. Because all the others gas them, and they purposely say, yeah, let's gas those Americans. Why? They're spraying on them. Why? It may look good, but there's some things going on inside that's not good. And so when you look through the banana thing, look for Costa Rica. We saw a bunch of banana farms there in Costa Rica. Amazing. Okay? And the thing is discretion shall preserve. The house or property must be maintained in order to be preserved. There's got to be some work here. So what is the proper preservation that a person can have to prevent deception? The warning of deception is given throughout the Bible. All over the place. In fact, when the apostles asked Jesus, what are the signs of thy coming? The first thing he said, be not deceived. Many are going to be deceived. And at this age that we're at, 6,000 years from Adam to now, Satan has infiltrated every area of life where he has error looking just like truth. And a person can't tell it apart. And that's the subtle thing about deception. The frustrating thing about deception is that you don't figure it out until after the fact. When you go into a foreign culture, if you don't know the language, man, you want to express some loneliness, just get around people that are jibber-jabbering and you don't understand a word they're saying. And they're saying stuff like, that dumb gringo over there, let's hoodwink this guy. If you go to Israel, you better learn the currency that quick. You know, get online and learn the currency that quick, because when you do buy something by pointing at this and pointing at that, and when you give them the currency, they're going to give you the wrong currency back on purpose. And you got to say, hey! Why? Because that's in their culture. That's in their culture. They don't look at us Gentiles as people. They look at us as a monkey or a camel or just an animal. To take food from a camel, that don't mean anything. It's not wrong. It's not sin. And so you got to watch these things. Paul warned about deception on multiple occasions. In Romans 16, he said that by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. In 1 Corinthians, he said, take heed that thou deceive not thyself. That's the worst form of deception, to deceive yourself. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can take a child raised in a good home with a good environment, and you can put that child in a place where there's evil communications, where they got telecommunications that's pumping evil out there. It's just pumping a spirit out there. It could be in a public school system. It could be in a work environment. And it's just a constant barrage at them, And it will corrupt good manners unless that child has some discretion. If they could see what's actually happening, they can look down the road. This is what the intentions are here. And I can stand against it and stay faithful during times of apostasy. Galatians 6, 9, be not deceived, he said. God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. So the idea is that we can be deceived. In Ephesians 4, 14, he said that children are tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's the thing we got to constantly guard, constantly watch out for. In 2 Thessalonians, he said that sign of the coming of the Antichrist is deception. It's going to culminate into Revelation 12, 9, worldwide deception, where the entire world will think the Antichrist is the utopian Christ that's going to bring peace in the earth. I mean, he's going to deceive them all. Obviously, except with that minor remnant that's going to be there. So all of us have suffered from deception. I don't think a person should be high and mighty and say, well, you got hoodwinked. We've all been hoodwinked. And in some areas of life, we're still hoodwinked. We just don't know it yet. And the thing is, if somebody falls away because they got tricked or deceived. And then they figure it out. When they come back, don't stick your finger in their face and say, I'm telling you now, what's the matter? Why? Because it's going to come your way too. Okay, and the thing is we've all been succumbed to deception from 6,000 years from Adam to now. The devil has had 6,000 years of experience. He's got no problem with us. None whatsoever. So I give you some ideas or actually words that help us to preserve understanding that we have been given. A person has been given. Do you understand a certain subject? Okay, now let's maintain that. How do we do that? First thing is prudence. Prudence will maintain proper understanding. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Prudence. It was a character trait mentioned of David. But the day that he messed up with Bathsheba, he didn't exercise prudence. It's a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ, prudence. The devil will often take a good word and make a common saying to throw off the good word. You ever hear the saying, well, you're just an old prude? What is that saying? Well, you're a party pooper. You're a prude. You're old-fashioned. Prude. Yeah, that's right. Things were better in the olden days. American churches were much better back in the 50s than they are now. 1950s. 1950s. 1850s. Much better. You say, well, we don't want to go back to those days. Oh, it wouldn't be too bad. At least they knew a boy from a girl. I mean, they knew that. Ephesians 1, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The word prudent rhymes with student. English language is very similar like that. And this is a person who's very studious about certain things. Prudent means showing care or thought for the future. A prudent individual will see an act or a temptation or whatever and says, okay, now if I commit this act, what is going to be the outcome down the road? That's what a prudent individual. A prudent man, Proverbs 22, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's what a prudent individual will do. Now, a young person, they don't have that experience of us older folks. Okay, and they might succumb to some passion that they have, and here he's 18 years old, now he's a dad already. He doesn't look down the road. It's not, you know, it's not 10 minutes of little fun here, pal. You're going to have a child here you got to take care of. You know, yeah, a male can make a child, but it takes a man to raise one. Okay, and then he's got another one from a different girl. Then he's got another one from a third girl, and that kid is now strapped financially for 20, 25 years. He didn't think about that. You got to look ahead of that. In Proverbs chapter 2, if you read after the word discretion shall preserve thee, it talks about the opposite sex. What is he interested in, girls? You better have some prudence to figure that out. If he's interested in you physically, when you lose it, he's gone. He's going to find something else in a year or two if that's what he's looking for. Prudence will see that. Prudence will preserve thee. All through Proverbs, you look up the word prudent, it's all through there. Hosea's final warning to Israel is you're not prudent. The first individual that Saul won to Christ in the book of Acts was a guy named Sergius Paulus, Acts 13:7. And it says, one of the characteristics of Sergius Paulus is he was a prudent man. I find that interesting. Prudence will maintain proper understanding. The second word is discernment. Okay, where in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man is spiritually discerned. If you would, look in 1 Kings chapter 3. When Solomon became king, he prayed a specific prayer. And this, a lot of times, when a person gets first into an occupation, sometimes you might find an attorney. You might. Usually at the beginning of their career where they really want to make a good difference. But it takes about a year or two. And they've been educated. They've been told about the bar exam and all that stuff, hey, you're not going to rock this boat. We got a good thing going. And they fade away. Okay? Where Solomon, at the beginning, had a sincere heart wanting to be a king. Now, we know from history, he didn't exercise prudence. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Here's his prayer. He says, Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked these things. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life. Now, that's an Old Testament doctrine. He could have asked for that. And God would have been obligated to do it under the Old Testament covenant. Neither hast asked for riches for thyself. Again, another idea under the Old Testament. Nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. Another idea. But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Now that was something he said was a good idea. Psalm 119, verse 66, it says, teach me good judgment. He got that one from his dad, David. Psalm 119, you read all through there. David would pray. This is that follow-up prayer. The first prayer, God, open mine eyes that I might understand thy law. But then the follow-up is in 119, verse 66, where he says this. He says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Now, how do you get good judgment? Usually by practicing bad judgment. And learning from it. Okay, but discernment. Discernment is one of the things that the Old Testament priests were told by God that you should be able to teach these people the difference between the holy and the profane. A person says, well, then you can see the difference between the holy and the profane. Yeah, but what if the profane looks holy? You go to the Christian bookstore up here on 30, and they got a bunch of books that says Holy Bible on there. And not too many of them are holy. You can pick them off the shelf. And when you read Isaiah, I don't think it's a good idea to imply that Lucifer is Jesus Christ. Take the thing and put it in file 13. But you see, people don't see that. Time and time again, they'll say, oh, the NIV is just like King James. No, it ain't, pal. Big difference. Difference between a Cadillac and a Yugo. But they don't see that. Why? They lack discretion. They lack discernment. This is one of the things that priests of the millennial time period, what do you do when evil appears good? Where it seems right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I thought that was the right thing to do. Years ago, a fellow that I'd seen saved in a jail, that he could just never overcome his vices in life, and you know, it'd be up and down, up and down, up and down. One of the times they came across his path again, and he said, you know, we got talking Bible. He said, I have learned that I can trust my heart. And I said, you think that's a good idea? He said, yeah, I want to trust my heart. And I said, you willing to see what the Bible's got to say? He said, well, of course you know me, Dave. You know me. And I flipped to Proverbs 28:26. It says, look at here. He that trusts his heart's a fool. He said, oh, so it's not a good idea? Not a good idea. Yeah, this fella never overcame. Just never overcame. Died here lately in a fire of an apartment building. The only one that died in that apartment. Why? No discernment. No discernment. No discretion. No prudence. Another thing, a third idea is vigilance. Vigilance will maintain proper understanding. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You ever watch animals in nature, how they're vigilant? We went to an area, Brent and Jen like to take us, been down there twice. The first time they didn't have these little monkeys there, but the second time they did. Man, we had a blast with them little monkeys. And you talk about watching them little boogers trying to get the food that we'd give them, and you talk about vigilance. They'd come in, and you'd offer that thing out. They'd back off. Man, they didn't trust us from anything. They thought it was a trap. And that's how they maintain their lives in nature, is they're vigilant. You watch people walking on the street. I can't imagine how people trust drivers on the highway. Walking along the edge of the road, backs turned, you know, and not even consideration. How do you know that guy's not texting? He's going to run over you. In Costa Rica, you know, I like the rules where motorcycles can go anywhere they want. Kind of like that idea. But they have 16 deaths per month because these motorcycles going in and out of these cars and somebody lacks discretion. They're not going to, they probably think, it's a good way of population control. I don't know what they're doing. But that's how they are. But you watch these animals in nature. One of them little monkeys, I sat down on a little log there. And I took that banana, I put it right on my thigh. I want to see how close I can get that guy. And he came up, and he got right there. He was vigilant. Now, what I'm saying there is that we have to be vigilant. In other words, when somebody tells you something, when you hear a teacher or a preacher or watch TV or listen to the news, a vigilant person doesn't trust what's being said. The simple believeth every word and are punished. You say, you need to be suspicious? That's exactly what I'm telling you. You said, suspicious of you? Yeah, exactly. Exactly suspicious. Patrick Henry said, suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. Best drivers on that highway are defensive drivers. You don't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody going on. I don't care if they got the turn signal on. You don't trust that. Could have left it on. And so we need to be vigilant Bible students. Okay, and the last area, basically, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is specific prayer you could pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You could pray for discretion. You could pray for discernment. You can pray for prudence and all those things. But there is a gift, one of the spiritual gifts that a person can pray for. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it certainly is not hasa antai atai botai. Okay? It's certainly not that. Why is this tongue-speaking movement so prevalent in our country? It's because somebody doesn't have discretion. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. These are one of seven areas in the Bible Paul says do not ignore. And it's about spiritual gifts. Now, what is a spiritual gift? It's like a natural gift where sometimes there are some ideas that a person can be more inclined to where they can learn quicker, musically inclined, athletically inclined, mechanically inclined. Okay, I remember reading about a lady who was working on a very difficult classical piece. She was pregnant at the time, and she'd worked on that piece the entire pregnancy, and she got that thing down pat. And then by that child after the birth, and that child grew up, and that child became musically... That child caught on to that classical piece amazingly fast because that child heard it for 9 months. Okay, so you have natural capabilities that are easier. People think that you cannot learn to sing. Yeah, you can. And stay on key and actually have the bucket. Okay, now if you're music inclined, you can catch on quicker. If you're not musically inclined, you can still catch on. You just have to work harder. Okay, artistry. I'm not a good artist. I took chalk art classes. I had a difficult time drawing a stick man. Okay, but there are some people that will teach you how to be a good artist, and you start learning about shades and perspective and all this. Oh, okay. But if you're not artistically inclined like me, you have to really work at it. Okay, other things, athletically, you know, that for me is just a no-brainer. That's just kind of easy. Okay, now there are spiritual gifts in the same realm. Where these gifts are given, at least one gift to every person who gets born again. There's at least one given. And in that area, you could catch on very quickly and develop that gift. But what are they? 1 Corinthians 12, he starts giving a few of them. Verse 9, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, okay, and knowledge is a guy who can quickly catch on to a subject. The word of wisdom is an individual who can take that subject and then make it practical or understanding to another. Counselor, things like that, where they have insight into counsel. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Okay, a person where they just have unbelievable faith. I mean, it could be the most difficult situation, and they're sitting there saying, well, I believe. You got to be nuts. I'm sitting there saying, I don't got that gift. Wish I had that gift. So I need to pray for that gift. The Lord says we need to pray for faith. Okay, another one, he says, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, that one's being faked all over the country. So in these, now you say, why would he throw that one in there? You say, is that one available today? No, it's not available. You say, how do you know that? Discretion. You say, why did he put it in there? Because this is written in Acts 20, before Acts 20, and these gifts were not put on the shelf until Acts 28. Discretion shall preserve thee. You say, how do you know that? With experience and discretion. To another, the working of miracles. That's another one. That's a Jewish sign gift. To another, prophecy. Now, if I'm going to show one that's my gift, that one's mine. Okay? To another, discerning of spirits. That's the one you ought to pray for. Discerning of spirits. And then to another, diverse kinds of tongues. That's one being faked. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Okay? And that's another one being faked. But that one you can have fun with. If you want to have fun, go on vacation, go to a tongue-speaking church. It's really entertaining. You know, and get into it. And if they're saying they can speak in tongues, get up and say, I have the gift of interpretation. And just make up stuff. And have a good time with it. I mean, how do you know this is fake? The charismatic movement is a movement designed by Satan to deceive Christians into allowing their personal experience to overthrow the Bible. I mean, I talked to this one of these ladies one time, and when you get talking to women about tongues, and if you get on that subject, get ready for a blast off. Because you are going to have an explosion. And when I got on this one lady, she was asking a question. Man, I know where this is going. And she said, are you telling me I'm speaking of the devil? I said, well, I'm glad you said it. I didn't. And I watched this woman take her Bible and throw it on the ground like that. And she was so stinking mad. I said, man, you lost your gift of tongues. And you talk about upset. This guy in a jail one time, he admired his Pentecostal mother, or grandmother. Oh, she was just a spiritual lady. Just admired her, loved her. Tell me about it. I said, oh, that's good. He said, wow, she spoke in tongues. I said, oh, that's good, good. Yeah, we all use our tongue to speak. And all that stuff, you know, I'm just going on with him. And he says, well, what do you think about speaking in tongues? I said, why would you ask that question? Well, I want to know what you say. I said, do you want to know what I want to say, or do you want to know what the Bible says? Yeah. I mean, what's a guy going to do when he asks that question? Well, of course, I want to know what the Bible says. I said, okay. So I flipped through a passage, and I turned the Bible around, and I stepped back from the bar as far as I could, and I put it up against the bar and said, you read it. And when he read that, the Spirit of God enlightened him. He got so stinking mad, he tried reaching through those bars. He said, how dare you say it? I said, I didn't say it. I just showed you the Bible verse. Relax, man. I mean, we had an explosion. Why? No discernment. There's not one tongue-speaking church in this country that obeys the guidelines for tongues. Not one. If they're not fulfilling a Bible gift in a Bible method, something is wrong. 1 Corinthians 14, it gives the guideline for the gift of the speaking of tongues. And in that chapter, it says tongues are a sign. It is a sign gift for Jewish people, and a person who reads the Bible, studies the Bible, has some discernment, will recognize that. And when you get dealing with a tongue speaker, if they say, well, are you telling me I'm speaking of the devil? I'm going to say something like, it may not be of the devil, but it certainly is probably of you. What did you do? Memorize all the motorcycles to get it down, Pat? Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki. Or did you go, Hashan, Tai, Tai, Bowtie? Or did you memorize Coca-Cola and say that over 100 times? Coca-Cola, 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 Coca-Cola. That's what one lady did down in Rensselaer. I mean, can you imagine? I'd say, watch Pepsi, Mountain Dew, you know, Dr. Pepper. I mean, say it all. I mean, have a good time with it. I mean, it's just nonsense. And I'm not saying they're lost people. We went to one of these churches, four of us men, one of these guys was working with one of the men of the church. I said, let's go to the church. It's Saturday night, man. We got the free, man, entertainment. An hour of country Christian music. An hour. Had to get them women all jacked up, man. And they were in the front. The women were in the front, kneeling, facing the speakers. You couldn't hear yourself think. I yelled at the top of my lungs to enjoy the party. And the only one that heard me was two children in front of me. I mean, it's just utter nonsense. And when it got to finally they did the preaching, the guy was so intimidated because we were sitting there. And he says something like, these people who believe you once saved, always saved. I said, amen. And it was like lit up the whole place. You see, what is it? They're not reading what the Bible says. They lack discernment. They lack discretion. So what do? Pray for the discerning of spirits. It's a gift. Chapter 12, verse 31 says that you can have it because he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet that. Desire that. Pray for that. In chapter 14, he tells you which is the best one, and it's the gift of prophecy. And so those are things we pray for. Pray for those things. Now, the discerning of spirit is a step up of discernment. Okay? It's like a person can discern if with experience. Okay, let's say you paint a car. If you've ever painted a car, you could tell shades. Jan's brother was a car and body man for his livelihood, and he was colorblind. He couldn't tell green from red, but he could tell shades. Okay, and that would be discernment. And I could tell, usually see a car, if you look either at the door or the front panel, the quarter panel, usually right there is where you want to make the brake because you think that you can make that brake or you shade it in. Ah, that car got an accident. It's not a perfect match. You never get a perfect match. Okay, but discretion will notice that. Other people that don't even see it, some of you folks will hear some of the singing specials, maybe, and the ones that know music, you know, they'll say, ah, flat note there. Not that you be critical, but you just notice it. But people who are tone deaf, oh, that was wonderful. Yeah, they sang through their nose. I guess it was wonderful. Oh, how I love ye. Come on, cut it out. Okay, again, you know, there's a spirit of the aspect of that. Okay, now, discernment of actions is one thing, but discernment of spirits is a step up. Spirits is attitudes. Parents, from your experience, you can tell maybe your child's actions are obeying, but the attitude is off. Okay, and that's what the discernment of spirits. Now, you're not going to bat 1,000. But with experience, you can spot it. Before the words, you can sense the spirit. If you go into certain places, you could sense the spirit of evil. Go to the Vatican City if you want to try it. That was an easy one. You just go to the Vatican, and if you got a little spirituality, you're going to, oh man, I am feeling something here. Years ago, we were traveling down to Texas to go to a youth conference. And we drove through Trinidad, Colorado. I'm on I-25, driving a bus to Trinidad. Just driving through Trinidad, and I sense something is about this town. I could feel it. Not fleshly, but I could sense there's something going on in this town. And so I was just curious about that. And I did a little research. Trinidad was the sex change capital of the world at that time. They had a priest and a nun that was trying to help these people change, make the change. This is in the 1980, when were we in Colorado? 84. And you could feel it. Ashley, she took a trip to Rome. And she said, boy, Dad, in Rome, you could feel it. That's the discerning of spirits. Now, that's a gift, okay, where you could sense a spirit behind the actions. And that's the spirit we pray for. Okay, it's a gift. And it's available. Covet earnestly the best gift. And if we have discretion, discernment, we get the understanding, then we have discretion and discernment, then we can recognize it. Just like that. And it's something you could either step back from, just throw up a little flag with the Spirit of God, will throw up a flag. Watch out here. Watch out. Several years ago, there's a couple down at Rensselaer. They gotten saved, and some JWs were trying to came to their house to try to talk to them. And I picked it up right. Oh, got some wolves. And Ray called me up, and he said, "Hey, would you come over? We got a couple of JWs." I said, "Oh, that'd be fun." So I came over, and this guy's trying to get his little point across, and I'd interject an idea here, and you're wrong here, and this wrong here, and the scripture this, and blah, blah, blah. And so the guy got so frustrated at JW. He was a guy that I dealt with 2 years earlier, same guy. And he said to the head of the household, he said, "This man really won't let me get my point across. He's interrupting." And so Ray said, "Brother Dave, just be quiet for a while. Just listen." I said, "Okay." And so I just sat there. And so the lady, the wife of the house, asked these JWs, "Are you telling me I can lose my salvation?" And here's the illustration the guy gave. He said, "You remember in the Old Testament about Elijah and the false prophets?" Yeah, I remember that. "And you remember that Elijah called upon the Lord and the false prophets called upon the Lord?" Yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, "You dirty dog." He said, "What was so subtle about that?" I couldn't resist. I just said, "You lied." And the guy said, "You were told to be quiet." I said, "Yeah, but you lied." Said, "What did I say?" He said, "You said the false prophets called upon the Lord. They did not. They called upon Baal. You lied." And I could see in his eyes that point got him. Caught him in a lie. But how many people would pick up on that? If you don't have discretion discerning of spirits, that could have blown over and the lady would have said, "Oh, yeah, I could see that." No, I caught him in a lie. This is the same clown 2 years earlier. He was trying to tell the friend that died in a fire that lacked discretion that the story of the rich man Lazarus is a parable. And I said, "Give you $20, show me the word parable in a chapter." And the guy started looking. "Well, I know it's in there." I said, "Got you $20, pal, as soon as you show it to me." Out the door he goes. And that 2 years later, that same guy, when he's getting ready to go to the door, I said, "Hey, did you ever find parable in Luke 16? Got $20 for you." He remembered that day, and he just walked out that door quiet as a church mouse. Why? Discretion got him. And what's going to preserve understanding that we have is discretion. Pray for the gift, the spiritual gift that's available to every believer. Pray for the discerning of spirits. And then be prudent, vigilant, and exercise discretion as you study these words. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us, as John said, try the spirits. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. And I pray that each of us who are praying that prayer, "God, please open mine eyes to the truth. Give me understanding." And when we get that understanding, help us to rejoice and come back to you and thank you for it, because you didn't have to do that. But we thank you for it. And then, Lord, please give me discretion. Please give me discernment of spirits. I need that gift. In this age where so much error looks like truth, so many in the church are deceived because they lack discretion, discernment. Lord, I pray for that. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play. It's a prayer you need to put on your prayer list. God, give me the spirit, the gift, the spiritual gift of the discerning of spirits. Discretion shall preserve the young people. Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion. Yield to the experience of your parents. They've been down that road. Discretion, discernment, prudence, vigilance. Lord, give me that gift, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed.